From meager beginnings as an adolescent ambulance washer in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, to a decade-long legacy of bringing you breaking news before it makes the news, broadcasting live from the studios of Scared Monkeys Radio Network via C-band satellite W3-957, Access Communications Channel 7, and worldwide via digital streaming audio at scaredmonkeysradio.com, it's the Dana Pretzer Show. And now, your host, Dana Pretzer.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I sat down earlier this afternoon with Stacy Dietrich. You know Stacy as a longtime law enforcement officer. She still is a detective in the Ohio area in the Sheriff's Department working the Narcotics Task Force. She's a author. She's written several books, a media analyst, consultant. You name it, she's done it. Now, we had a little technical glitch when we first started, but one of the first questions I asked Stacy was, law enforcement officers in retirement, talking about yours truly and how you can get the job in your blood, but it never really gets out. Here's Stacy.
Fixing everybody else, and when it's just left to be on our own, we're kind of antsy and don't know what to do. And really, I think, you know, a lot of things I see with people being retired is they truly don't know how to enjoy life, what life is all about. And I think that's what all of us really need to work on when we, you know, get towards retiring. We're just not able to take, you know, sit down, take a deep breath, and, you know, really, really enjoy life.
Stacy Dietrich is here. She's a longtime law enforcement officer, author, media consultant, you name it, she's done it. What about your writing? Are you still getting that done?
No, unfortunately, and I am asked that so much, and I'm so torn with it because I miss it so much. But again, with the job, I don't know how I did it before. And I had my girls were so young at the time when I did all my writing and was working. I sometimes wonder how I did that. There just is not enough time in the day to even sit and write a paragraph. And I recently transferred to the narcotics division, so my hours are all over the place. And anymore, I think maybe it comes with age. I'm just so tired when I get home that my brain just can't go there anymore. It's done. So the creative part of me hopefully will come out again, but so far, you know, it hasn't. I have so many projects started. Whether or not I finish those, I'm just not sure right now.
Yeah, well, I don't blame him. The reason I brought you on the show tonight, and this is Stacy Dietrich talking, not the department that she represents. This is her own personal, you know, beliefs and some things she can comment on and some things she can't. But as a law enforcement officer, and I sit back too, and I go back to, heaven's sakes, the early 80s and before that, growing up with a father in law enforcement going back to the early 60s. And I've seen this change in, I don't know, I guess a perception. You know, we see the Black Lives Matter and we see the attack on law enforcement, the officers, you know, most recently in Dallas and Louisiana and other places, basically being assassinated. And it makes people wonder, and in fact, I've had some ask me, how did you do the job so long and why would anyone want to do that job now? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts on that are kind of twofold. I've never seen community support for the police, actually, like I've seen recently. I think there was, and it was about 6 months ago when I was still on patrol, I think I had 3 days in a row the person in front of me in the drive-thru paid for my meal. People coming up to me when I'm sitting in a parking lot doing a report saying, hey, I just want to say thank you. People donating things to the department in thanks. There was, you know, the media spins it one way, you know, that we're just horrible people, whatever. But really, the community and the public perception is not that way. And that's what I think myself and all the other law enforcement officers have really seen this outpouring from the community in support of us. It's actually been opposite.
You make a real good point, because there's that 99.5% of the public that appreciate you, hope they never have to call you, but when it takes the death of officers, you know, for them to say, oh, geez, maybe I should thank that cop on the street, it's a good thing and it makes you feel good. But, you know, as a former media person, because you did a lot of media work,
right,
and you touched on it a little bit, what about the media and how they have been covering I've used the term attack on law enforcement, but the law enforcement public relations, how do you think that's been going?
I think it's pretty disgusting, and I won't say which publication, but there was one reporter that was covering the Baton Rouge shooting, and he had his camera pointed at a female officer, and he's like, look, she's pointing her gun at these people for no reason. He doesn't, you know, there's so much perception behind that, and he has no idea what the scenario is. Needless to say, then they had the Baton Rouge killings of the officers, and the same reporter is following the funerals and everything else, and I was so disgusted by that. I was like, now you're sorry, and you were helping perpetuate this negativity towards the Baton Rouge officers, and look what happened. You know, how many of them died, and now you're covering their funeral. It's people like that. I often wonder, how do you sleep at night?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that just really, really makes me angry. And you touched on that earlier, that, yeah, it's nice that we're having the outpouring from the community, but it shouldn't have taken so many deaths of officers for that to happen.
You know, you mentioned your transfer from patrol to narcotics, and you've done a little bit of everything, specializing in child abuse cases and other. As an officer, and as you continue on in your career, and you have these opportunities, you know, to supervise or to teach or to do whatever, how does Stacy sit back and decide what she wants to do? Because narcotics is no easy task either.
No, and I kind of wonder if I didn't bump my head doing this in the middle of a sermon epidemic. You know, it was, I had kind of dabbled in it before, but it was just an opportunity that, a full-time task force that I hadn't done. It was an opportunity. I had come out of major crime about a year and a half ago and went back to patrol, but it was just, it was an opportunity that it's a very rare opportunity, and I kind of felt like I had to take that. And it's definitely something I hadn't experienced before, and something that's very interesting, to say the least.
Now you're out doing your job and doing it the best you can. Yeah, you do your part. DA does his part or her part. The courts do their part. But when you as a private citizen sit back and look at government, state, local, the Colorados, the Washington states, the others that are looking to, and you and I have talked about this but in the past before, to decriminalize, they're wanting to do it up here to legalize marijuana. As that beat cop, as that narcotics cop, what will that do to society and to law enforcement as we know it?
You know, Dana, I've kind of changed my tune on that a little bit. I was pretty adamant, you know, against legalizing marijuana. But with what is happening today with, you know, the heroin and some of the other bigger drugs, it's just, it's an epidemic. We're not able to even put a dent in it. And the marijuana, that's a sideshow anymore. It's, you know, when we come upon somebody that has marijuana, yes, it's illegal. But it's just kind of like we need to be focusing more on what's killing people.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. The meth, the heroin, you name it, it's out there. But it makes you wonder, at least me, with these governments and the political correctness, the way they're going. You've got some lunatics that are out there saying legalize all drugs and then mandate them and sell them, and alcohol is just as bad and all that sort of stuff. So it does make it frustrating from you know, I guess me as a citizen now and as a former law enforcement officer, to see the people in charge doing that. Yeah, you're right. Pot charges are pot charges. But what about these kooks that say legalize the whole bit? Because they're out there.
Well, and that's just ridiculous. It's like saying that drug offenses are a nonviolent crime. That doesn't even make any sense. Almost all of our violent crimes are attributed to drugs. We have the, you know, the theft, the rape, the carjackings, the robberies, the shootings, all goes back to the drug use. So to sit there and say that, you know, a drug offense is a nonviolent crime, that doesn't even make any sense. It's horrible. It's fueling, just the most violent, violent crimes that we've seen in a long, long time.
One of my favorite guests, Stacey Dietrich, is here. She's a law enforcement officer, an author, a media consultant, you name it, she's done it. The one thing that we hear quite a bit about, Stacey, in the coverage that we see of this election happening in your country there is the talk of illegal immigration and deportation and all that sort of stuff. One is saying that he's going to deport everybody and he's going to build a wall, and the other ones are saying, come on to the States and we'll open you with, or we'll welcome you with open arms. As a citizen and law enforcement officer, do you think either one of these dopey politicians will be able to do much?
I think Trump will, actually. He changed his tune a little bit, I think, in the last week, and starting out targeting the violent criminals. And I've had firsthand experience with that. It's extremely frustrating. We'll have, you know, illegal immigrants committing a crime. And you call Cleveland, and they're like, give them a Monday court date. That's it. And knowing these people are not going to show up for court and face deportation, there was nothing. They would do nothing about it, and it was very frustrating. You know, frustrating for the people, you know, who are the victims of these crimes. You have to, you know, to watch them just walk away. Hey, show up to sleep on Monday at 9. It's very frustrating.
And it certainly is. And to see that, and to see those that have been deported come back and still commit crimes, I hope Donald Trump is able to enact some of the policies that he wants to enact and start cleaning up things a little bit. I want to ask you this question. I know I've asked you before, is from when you first started policing to today, it's a pretty open-ended question, but we've got a little bit of time here yet. What are the biggest changes that you see?
Most the lack of respect and the red tape within, you know, administrations, you know, the high ranking, the politics in policing has just, we've allowed politics and mm-hmm. everything else to dictate how we perform our jobs, and I think it's done a great disservice to the public, actually. You know, just trying to create this narrative that the, you know, media wants us to act like. One of the things, you know, I get so frustrated after a police shooting and I read comments where they're like, you know, don't they have less than lethal? Why couldn't they have teased them? You know, I wish more departments. And one of the best things that police departments can do is put on a citizens' police academy.
Yeah.
And for these people to go through and do the shoot or don't shoot scenarios, go through that training to really see how quickly things escalate, and learn that on their own. But it's so frustrating because there's no information out there. And we used to do that back, you know, I know back in the mid-90s, we were having citizen police academies. And I don't know why departments kind of stepped away from that, but that to me was the greatest thing.
You're right. Walk a mile in our shoes and learn a little bit about what you do. the politicians that are sitting behind their desks but have never faced down a drunk in a back alley, or at least come in and learn a little bit. Stacey Dietrich is here. She's one of my favorite guests, law enforcement officer. I want to talk a little bit about some of the stories that we talked about in the past, and one I can remember you giving me a rough time about a little bit was the former Bolingbrook Police Sergeant, Drew Peterson. Now, Drew is serving 64 years. He's never going to come out of jail. He'll die there, and that's what probably he deserves to do. His last wife is still missing, but Drew seems to be able to find a way to get back into the media, and apparently he put a hit out on the DA that was prosecuting him. What about Drew Peterson? Does any of this surprise you, Stacey?
No. No. And, you know, just even giving him, you know, even giving him attention, he obviously was not a good police officer. But to think, you know, in doing that he wasn't going to get caught just shows his level of arrogance that we've seen throughout his entire story. You know, that's what got him hemmed up, his arrogance, always thinking he's above the law. And this is the same pattern that we've always seen with Drew, just the narcissistic, you know, God complex that he thinks he can get away with everything. And, you know, unfortunately, it's very, very sad that they still have not found Stacey.
Yeah.
And you want to think, you know, could this guy ever redeem himself and tell them where she is? But unfortunately, you know, I don't think we're going to see that out of him.
No, probably not. And as an author, you writing about bad police officers, how difficult was that for you as someone in the business? Because it's true, we like to protect our own as long as they're doing a good job and they're above board, but there are bad cops out there.
Oh, absolutely. And I didn't have a problem writing that book at all. None of us like to see that. And, you know, let's face it, we all know people that have no business being policemen. And they're still there, and maybe down the road they're going to make us all look bad. I think one of the things that I found out in the book, researching all these cases, is we need to do better backgrounds. There was so many red flags within these officers' backgrounds, and I do background investigations on new officers. When those red flags come up, it was just so blatant, and they were overlooked, that you would have seen down the road this is going to be a problem. And I think we definitely need to do better with that.
And now when we see bad cops being brought forward, LAPD just released a video here the other day of a subdued suspect being kicked by an officer. And Chicago's releasing these tapes of officer-involved shootings to the media, and then it flares up the public to start to riot or whatever. The public does have a right to know what's going on with their police force, but what do you think about these videos being released after the fact?
I'm kind of mixed on that. Yes, they do have a right to know, and if you're not doing anything wrong, you're not doing anything wrong. Like the officer in South Carolina that chased the guy down and shot him in the back.
Right, yep.
That was mind-boggling. Like, just an idiot that had no business being a policeman, and he should be prosecuted, you know, for murder. And here's, I guess this is how I kind of put it into perspective. You figure there's like 600,000-700,000 police officers in the United States. That's comparable to the city of Boston. And, you know, if five people in a week in Boston go out and commit murder, it doesn't make Boston the murder capital of the country. There are hundreds of thousands. You can't take five cases that the media has blown all over your television and look at the policeman walking down your street and saying he's the same. You can't do that. There's no balance, I guess, with the media, and that's very frustrating. Of all the good things that policemen do every single day, none of those are on, you know, your television. It's the negative. And I think that's what we need to start changing.
You're right. All we see is the bad stuff. Stacy Dietrich is here for a few more minutes, and I appreciate your time, Stacy. You know, you and I go back quite a number of years, and you did some media work. You hosted a show yourself. You did lots of consulting. You did lots of book writing. You did everything, and your true calling brought you back to law enforcement. But then there'll be a time where, you know, of course, I could see you probably working in for quite a few more years, but how do you balance the two, family and law enforcement? Because I know how busy you are, and it must be difficult.
It is, and, you know, I actually thought as my kids got older, it would get easier, and it's gotten worse. My oldest just started college, and my youngest just started high school, and my hours are crazy, and, you know, my husband's on night shift, and I'm on afternoons, and, boy, I'll tell you, it's been, I don't even know what to say. I actually, this past weekend, got to decompress a little bit, and it was so wonderful, but then I found myself getting antsy. I'm thinking, what am I going to do? I'm not used to, you know, but, yeah, I still have, I got about 10 more years to go, so I'm going to have to, you know, figure it out.
You know, I remember I was 18 when I told my dad, who was still active in law enforcement, that I wanted to put on the badge, and I remember the look on his face, but I also remember the look on his face of being so proud when I graduated the academy. What about you? What about your kids? What if they come to you and say, Mom, we want to, or I want to join a sheriff's department or a police department? How would you react?
Well, Dana, I've actually had that conversation.
Oh, have you already?
My daughter is in education to be a school teacher and had a little momentary lapse of reason where she said, I'm not doing this, I'm going to be a police officer. Needless to say, as hypocritical as I sound, but that is an absolute no.
You know you're not going to be able to stop her.
I know, but I, you know, I sat her down and I told her, look how many of your birthdays I've missed, holidays, weekends, your sporting events. I want you to really look at all that because she really wants to, you know, eventually settle down and have a family of her own someday. And I guess I've sheltered them. And I try to, you know, some of the things that she'll come across on the job, I don't think that she could absorb that. I don't think that she would be able to handle some of it. And that's probably because I've sheltered them so much. And but we really, my husband and I, you know, really listen. You need to really think about this. Look at what, you know, we're never home and we miss things. And you know, I think Brooke was 7 before I took her to her first fireworks because I had to work every 4th of July. And I think those things kind of resonated with her a little bit, and so she's sticking with the teaching.
And that's good. But you know, again, you know, and I know that it gets in your blood because you,
right.
it's part of the family, and the family dynamic is law enforcement. So all of a sudden you have this urge, I guess, to do what you think is right. And yeah, it's difficult for parents. Stacy Dietrich is here and we're talking about law enforcement and, just a little bit of everything. I'm just so happy that she's, joined me here to talk about things. We go back a long ways doing different stories and, you know, we talked about Drew Peterson and the bad cop, but there's other stories out there that you've written about and talked about and you mentioned it a little bit at the start. Do you still get questions about this book or that book, or are you interested in doing this or doing that?
Yes. Yes, I am actually. It's Saturday. I think it's a London production company is flying here to Ohio to do an on-camera interview on a couple of the cases. I think they're doing a new television series there in London on that.
Mm-hmm.
So So I do make time for that, but I'm very, let me just say, I've had to turn down quite a bit because of my schedule. And it's just, but yeah, I still do get quite a bit of inquiries. This one just happened to be convenient because it's, you know, less than an hour away and it's on a weekend, so I was able to do that. But a lot of them require me to travel and go to different states, and I can't with my schedule right now.
I've saved the best to last, and I want to spend a little bit of time with this on with you. And most recently, we've seen a documentary, 10-part documentary series on Netflix called Making a Murderer, about Stephen Avery and his nephew, Dassey. The nephew was just released from jail. And I know I watch it, and I've done several shows on it, and it just drives me crazy. Apparently, there's going to be a part two coming out, and there are also other... that type of documentary-style shows that are coming out, and again, very negative to the police, very seems like very one-sided. But I want to get your opinion. First of all, did you watch it, and what did you think of it?
I didn't watch it. Like I said, I don't get much time for television.
Yeah.
And I live in the sticks, so my internet, you know, Netflix is sketchy at best out here. But that being said, just seeing, you know, the people commenting on it. Was it the nephew that just got released?
Yeah.
From what it sounded like, is he was released based on a prosecutor misconduct of not providing discovery. Is that what it was about?
That's part of it, and the other part of it was because he's a little bit slow, it was the... A statement that he gave was, they're saying, is coerced by the two detectives that took it from him. And you know, you've taken many statements. You have a suspect who's a little bit slow. And a lot of people don't understand. You don't walk into that interview room and say, did you do it? And they look at you and say no, and you say, well, thank you very much, have a nice day, and you leave. There's a lot more to it. So what makes me scratch my head is that this case had gone to several levels of the appellate court, and now after this dopey documentary, all of a sudden what other appellate courts have said to be, you know, that the case is just fine, all of this one judge says, no, you got to release him. And I guess in general, when we see these types of stories and cameras in the courtroom, Stacey, it's just making it more difficult for law enforcement to do their jobs, or am I wrong?
No, and what people don't understand is, you know, misconduct by a prosecutor does not mean that person's innocent. So you're potentially, you know, and like I said, I have not seen the documentary, so I'm speculating here. You're potentially letting out a murderer. And it's, remember the West Memphis 3?
Yep.
That, like, just sent me over the edge. I fully, 100% believe that those three men to be guilty. But then again, here you have the media and rock stars and singers, everybody out campaigning to let them out. It's like there are no words, that just makes me crazy. But with this, you know, like I said, I haven't seen it yet, but people need to be careful. If one liberal judge, you know, declares that he can be released based on the misconduct of the prosecutor, does not necessarily mean that he's innocent. Yeah. Oh, and there's my dog.
And he agrees, or she agrees.
She's rooting me on.
Yeah. And it's so true, but it just seems like, and what a reaction, you know, from the media perspective to this online docu-series, so to speak. I watched it. And I thought about you, actually, and other law enforcement officers that I know that would be watching it, and how crazy that you probably would have gone, and you might have been yelling at the TV screen, but like you say, you've got other things to do, and you're...
And busy. Actually, Dana, that is why I don't watch a lot of those, because they make me nuts. I know there's a lot, and I don't know why. DonBenet Ramsey, all these shows are coming out now.
Coming back, yeah.
I can't watch those. I can't do it. It will make me nuts. I went through, you know, Robin and I, we flew to Atlanta. We went through that case like crazy. And I can't even watch. It's like put it to bed already. I don't know. Like, you know, you're right. I would be screaming at the TV. That's why I don't watch those, because they make me crazy.
and different perspectives.
I don't need any more anger in my life.
Different perspectives, too. You know, that you're right. JonBenet Ramsey, and I've talked about him many times here, that I interviewed that John Mark Carr, and I never did air it.
Oh.
Because what a complete nut this guy was. But everybody seems to be grabbing on to these stories, and none of us can say that the family doesn't deserve answers in these cases, and even the public deserve to hear some things. But to see the Casey Anthony's out walking around and you know, other cases like this, and you're right. We're exploiting the victims. You know, we don't hear about the victim in the Making a Murderer case. We just hear about these two suspects. The victim was there, but we don't hear about them. But we keep hearing about these goofs. But it's that public perception. The folks love it. They like to read your books. They like to hear you talk. They like to hear the story. And I think that's going to continue, and we're going to keep hearing about it. But it's got to be slanted evenly,
right,
though, doesn't it?
Let's coddle them. It's, you know, the coddle society. I don't understand it.
I got in trouble one time for saying it was a judge. He had a hug-a-thug courtroom, and I got in a little bit of trouble for making comments like that. But darn it, you know, you get sick of seeing it, and just before I let you go, I don't want to know what you prefer politics-wise, but have you ever seen an election the way that it's going down there right now? I haven't in my time. I think it's just crazy.
No, and let me put it in perspective. I told my husband, I said, I want to build my own wall around my home. Hunker down and go into doomsday mode and just live the rest of our lives. Turn everything off, grow our food, and just live like hermits. I think that's where I'm at. I don't know where everybody else is. It's just, you know, I don't know how many times a day I walk around going, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know, is this really happening? You know, I think we're just kind of all there. You know, Hillary gets a pass daily that none of us would ever get. It just, I don't understand it. I don't, and it's just, I think that's, and the rhetoric between the media, the candidates, and everything is just so crazy. And like I said, I think probably a lot of people would agree with me. We just want to build our own wall around our house.
And you're right.
So disconnect from it all. So it is definitely going to be interesting.
You're right. You know, the Clinton scandal. As angry as I was when I watched the FBI director give his press conference, I was also muttering to myself, "Here's a guy that, well, whatever. We won't go into that." But
I know exactly what you're saying.
You know, it just makes you shake your head. I actually felt sorry for him because he's.
I did too for a point, because it's like he's standing there and he's angry because she's guilty. He's telling you she is, but he was told she gets a pass, and he's letting you know that.
Yep.
You know, that's kind of what I took from that.
That's what I took.
At what point do you keep your dignity? I just be like, you know what? I would resign. That's just me. Before I would stand up and do that and say, listen, you did it. You need to prosecute. I'm not going to stand up there and cover for you. That's just me. I did lose a little respect for him in that aspect, though.
Oh, I did, too. I did, too. But you could also see he was covering his rear end, trying to show what the case was about, but also saying that, you know, I got superiors, too, and they're telling me just to let this thing go. So, anyway, Stacey, just before I let you go, and again, I appreciate your time. You're busy. I could easily ask you just what's next for you, but I know how busy you are. But if I phone you or give you a call in a year from now, what do you think you'll be doing?
Oh, Dana, I don't even know. You know, I might have been able to answer that question, but the last 4 years, I would have never, if you had asked me a year ago if I would be where I'm at now, that wouldn't have even crossed my mind. So I have no clue. I don't. Hopefully I'm still doing what I'm doing, but, you know, check back with me.
Well, I know you will be. You will be doing what you're doing. You'll be doing it with professionalism. You'll be doing the best job you can, your family. I always have a huge amount of respect for law enforcement families like yours. Like I say, I grew up with that, and I wish you luck, and I want you to stay safe, and let's stay in contact, okay, Stace?
Absolutely, and again, Dana, thank you so much for having me back on. I really, really enjoyed it. I've missed it.
No problem. Take care.
All right, you too.
Bye. Stacey Dietrich, she worked in a sheriff's department, deputy sheriff. She left the business for a couple of years and wrote a lot of great books. Just click on the link in the show notes to go to her webpage, StaceyDietrich.com, and true crime, real crime, the stories, you name it. And she's done a lot of work on television. And she got to the point where she wanted to go back. So she went back, and she went back into law enforcement and went to the classic patrol, get those keys, get your car, go out and do what you're paid to do, protecting life and property. She's now transferred into narcotics. She's working in a sheriff's department in Ohio. And I wanted to bring her on to talk a little bit about law enforcement and what it's like to be a law enforcement officer in the United States or Canada or wherever. It certainly has changed since I got involved in the early 1980s, and then I retired about a year ago. Miss it every day. I'd go back tomorrow if I had an opportunity to do so. But then law enforcement has changed a lot. It's changed from the 80s, 70s, 60s, 90s, even 5 years ago. It's to a point now where it's so politically correct that you have to spend more time writing reports about what you did than going out and actually doing what you should be doing. And that's management's problem, and that's society's problem. We have judges, you know, I got in trouble one time for saying a hug-a-thug judge. I didn't really mean it that way, but it seems like the rights are balanced in little different directions, you know. And who's important here is the victim. The Making a Murderer story, 10 parts, now the nephew's out. Isn't it a coincidence that after that case was appealed to several different appellate courts, that this one federal judge can come forward and say that statement was coerced and he should be released? Haven't heard yet if there's going to be a refiling. Probably won't be. I know Blank from Blank on Crime is probably sitting back saying right now, I told you so. But this is far from being over. Stephen Avery's the other case. The media buys into these fancy defense lawyers that come forward and say, I'll be able to get him out. But are you releasing a murderer? Look at the evidence. Look at everything that's there. You have the officers like Drew Peterson, disgraced officers. You have LAPD officers that are kicking suspects that are down and secured. And what that does is it just fires everybody up, gets everybody going again, and gets them upset. And then you have the protests, the Black Lives Matter, and the other things. And then the terrible cases like in Baton Rouge and Dallas and others where law enforcement officers are getting killed, assassinated. Attacks on law enforcement officers are gone up in the United States 70-75%. We're not hearing a lot of stories about law enforcement officers that do good work. Even in my own community, we see a lot of good work done by law enforcement officers. But besides the department itself sending out that information and trying to promote and say, look, we do good things too, the media doesn't really grab on to the story the way they should, in my opinion. Instead, they like to grab a hold of the negative story. You know, if it bleeds, it leads. Let's grab that. Let's take it. Now you, whether you're watching on Access 7 or listening on Scared Monkeys Radio, sit back and say, well, this cop gave me a ticket one time and I don't really care for it. Or you don't have any interaction with police officers because you never had to. But when the meth head is trying to break down your front door and he thinks he's somewhere else and you need to call for help, when you call that 911, it's that officer that may have given you the ticket or that you're upset about that's going to come and help you, save you. But in other cases, there's officers out there that just aren't doing the job that they should. One thing that I learned a long time ago, when you start doing programs like this or you start watching stories or reporting on stories, and you say, well, you're not really a reporter. Yeah, we've done a lot of stories here over the years. Almost 17 years I've been doing this. And it's interesting to see whether it's about O.J. Simpson or about Joran Vandersloot or about Drew Peterson or you name it, John Mark Carr, JonBenet Ramsey. There are a lot of families out there that need help. They need assistance. They need answers to stories and involvement in their families, whether it's a loss of a loved one or a missing person or you name it, that they haven't been able to get. So we try to put open that mic for them so they can say what they want to say. But I brought Stacy on tonight so she could tell you what it's like to be that cop. So she can tell you what it's like to have a family. She comes from a family of police officers like I do, and I wanted to talk to her a little bit about her own family, and I found it interesting, although not surprising, that her daughter, who wants to be a teacher, also talked about wanting to be a police officer, because it gets into your blood, and it makes you want to do what you can to try and help people. As corny as it sounds, most officers in law enforcement, men, women, do it because they have a desire to help people. I know it sounds corny, but that's just it. Protecting life and property. But putting a politician behind a desk to make decisions that you have to make as law enforcement in a split second, every day, every night, that back alley dealing with that drunk at that domestic dispute or wherever you're going to be, is something that that person behind the desk has never experienced. Citizen police academies are a wonderful thing, although they have to be handled right. You could show them your training, take them for a ride in the police car, show them the jail, talk a little bit about laws. But again, most people don't understand what it's like to do the job, to see how frustrating it can be in courts, out of courts. Makes it tough for you because you know everything you do may be recorded. But there's one thing I can say to the men and women in law enforcement that are out there. Just do the best you can. Be honest, and you'll be just fine. The laws are there for you to protect others and for you to protect yourself. So use your oath, do it right, and you should be just fine. But that split-second decision could be a life and death one, and you'll have to make that choice, not the person sitting behind the desk critiquing you. Okay, that's it. That's enough of me rambling. I'm Dana Pretzer. You are listening to Scared Monkeys Radio and watching on Access Channel 7 and Channel 70. And I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again real soon.
You've been listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. We invite you to discuss tonight's program with other listeners by joining us at ScaredMonkeysRadio.com, where you'll find program archives, links to tonight's guests' websites, and further information regarding tonight's topics. Scared Monkeys Radio is a production of ScaredMonkeys.com. Thanks for listening.